Next, agree upon a meeting schedule. Some want weekly meetings, and others want monthly meetings. To avoid frustrations, agree upon the frequency of your time together. Take into account each other's schedules and the purpose of the relationship. Sometimes the purpose of the relationship does not require a lot of meetings or intense meetings. At other times, the purpose of the meeting will. And depending upon the need, some relationships will require longer and more frequent meetings than others. So be sure to think about the purpose and the needs of the relationship and each person there. Be sure to address the issue of emergency meetings and how you will meet. Do you have approval from him or her to call at the office at any time, or are there going to be certain hours or times of the day when that is inappropriate? What should you do if an emergency situation arises and you need that person's help and insight? Well, just discuss that. Will your meetings be face-to-face, or will they involve phone conversations? What if you have an important need that requires a meeting outside of scheduled times? It may not be an emergency situation, but something that's weighing heavily on your heart or on your mind. Will the mentor be available for impromptu meetings? So be careful to agree upon a meeting schedule. Additionally, agree upon a method and structure of accountability. I've said it before and I'll say it again. People tend to do what we inspect, not what we expect. In order to achieve the goals and expectations mutually agreed upon, accountability provides both the mentor and the mentoree a way of monitoring and measuring tasks, achievements, and developments. Accountability helps determine where mentorees are in their progress and what needs to be accomplished to move them toward their goals. So, agree upon what method and structure this accountability will take. Will it, for instance, include written assignments? Will it include times of discussion? Will it include reading materials? Will it include evaluations and assessments? Will it include phone calls? Will it include a question and answer time? Will it include other structures and methods that possibly I have not mentioned here? So be sure to discuss the accountability factor and agree upon how it will be achieved. Next, be sure to discuss the concept of confidentiality. Ministers know that a breach of confidentiality with members of the congregation will negatively impact their ministry. And depending upon the breach, often the case is that the minister's ministry is over with, because the trust factor is taken out from under their feet. Confidentiality is a must, especially in a relationship where honest and open sharing is to occur. If you want someone to share openly and honestly with you, you have to give them the assurance that it is a safe environment to do so. That when they tell you something, you're not going to get up into the pulpit that next Sunday and announce it to the world, or that the grapevine, the informal grapevine, is going to get a hold of it, or that it's going to be passed around on the prayer line. So that safe environment of confidentiality is important. And there are those people who really don't care who knows what. And confidentiality isn't that important to them because they wear their entire life on the outside. Other people, however, are very private. And they can share some things that are not that important, but are very private to them. And for you to breach that confidentiality would be destructive to them and to the relationship. So it is wise to discuss the need and expectations of confidentiality to preclude any problems that may arise. Next, set a time frame upon your relationship. Mentoring relationships don't last forever. And it is good to set an initial time frame upon the relationship depending upon the goals and the needs of the relationship. Set up intervals for evaluating the relationship. If you believe it will take a year for the relationship to accomplish its intended purpose, then agree upon a one-year time frame with quarterly intervals for evaluating the relationship. If the relationship isn't working out, then it's much easier to shut it down during an evaluation period instead of enduring a bad relationship for a whole year. You see, this allows for either party to leave the relationship without bad feelings. Evaluations also allow for modification or redefinement of the original expectations and goals of the relationship. Be sure to ask mentorees for feedback. In other words, are you scratching where they are itching? And be sure to bring the relationship to an end. When there is no closure, the relationship dwindles with both parties uneasy about what to do next. So discuss the end at the beginning. And when the time frame is up, re-entry into an additional time frame can occur, but it is always best to talk up front about how and when you will end the mentoring relationship. Often when the agreed upon time frame is up, a close enough relationship exists for occasional mentoring to happen for the remainder of one's life. These 6 points can greatly add to your effectiveness as a mentor and enhance the relational success factor if implemented into the mentoring relationship up front and at the start. Since most mentoring relationships will occur between adults, an understanding of how adults learn could be very helpful to you as a mentor. So I want to share with you 3 basic principles that will assist you with designing and relating to adults in the mentoring context. The 3 principles are self-directed learning, experiential learning, and learning for personal growth. The principle of self-directed learning means that adult learners want to participate in the learning process. Children are told what they will learn, and they are also told how they're going to learn it. But adults like to have a say in the learning process. And although this need varies between adults, it is always wise to allow mentorees involvement in the process of developing their own growth and learning. So listen closely to the needs of mentorees and ask for their input when designing a mentoring experience for them. Adults like that. The principle of experiential learning simply means that adults learn best when experience is an integral part of the learning process. Adults demand that learning apply to real-life situations. If learning is not good in the field, then it probably isn't very good. And since adults have experience in the field or in the real world, they have a perfect environment in real life for integration to take place. And so with this in mind, be sure that your mentoring is experience-based. Allow for tasks to be done in the field and allow plenty of time for feedback about the learning experience, because their learning arises from the questions and problems they have experienced in life. The principle of learning for personal growth recognizes that adults want to learn in order to reach personal goals, to achieve their full potential, and to use what they learn to make them better people. Since adults are goal-oriented, be sure to clearly connect for them the results the new learning should produce from their desire to grow. In other words, point it out. I'd like to do this, and one of the outcomes of this should be that you will be able to accomplish this. So point out the outcomes for them, because they tend to be goal-oriented. To flounder with outcomes or results is to risk the failure of a great start and a terrible finish. With these three principles in mind, you can help design and develop a mentoring relationship that is headed for success. There are some very practical areas we are all involved with where mentoring can occur on a habitual and regular basis. The context for such mentoring may surprise you because they are so routine and so familiar to you. One of the most important and familiar areas is found in the home. Right before our very eyes is a valuable mentoring context. Generally, within the family, you find a father, a mother, and children. Now, I understand that we have a breakdown in families in our society, but generally speaking, that's the family unit that we are talking about when we discuss the family. Relationships already exist, and being together is not a problem because they are a family. The children don't go and stay with other parents during the evening. You see, everyone is together as a family unit. So this provides a perfect setup for mentoring to occur. Husbands and wives can mentor each other, and they can also mentor their children. Mentoring will occur in this situation no matter what, because of the relationship and the proximity of family members. So because of that, mentoring will take place. I guess the question is, what are we going to mentor? And how are we going to do it in a positive and effective way? The emphasis here is being aware of the mentoring context so you can model appropriate and impactful behaviors and attitudes. My wife and I constantly discuss what we've learned from one another, both good and bad, with an effort to help each other grow. Now, some of my parishioners used to think that the only thing wrong with my relationship with my wife was that our halos every once in a while would clash and bang together. But you know as well as I do that in any marriage relationship, whether you're a pastor or not, there is the bringing together of two different upbringings, two different experiences in life, two different personalities, and there are things that are good and things that are bad. There are things that can be taught and learned, and there are some things that you don't want to teach. And so we discuss this a lot so that we can keep each other sharp and see how we're influencing one another. Judy's upbringing instilled in her to always do what others expected of you because you wouldn't want them to be disappointed. And so the motivation was always meeting the demands and expectation of others while dropping your own personal needs along the wayside. And many times she has attested to my influence in this area. I modeled appropriate behavior, and I helped her reason through her belief system. And she has since learned to relax and do what God alone tells her to do. And this has taken great courage on her part, as some people's expectations are outrageous and ridiculous, especially for a pastor's wife. And so my modeling and teaching released her from the heavy bondage of others' expectations and freed her for effective and impactful ministry in the areas God was calling her. Now, she has also mentored me as well. She has a personality and a caring demeanor that makes individuals feel very comfortable around her. She is so sweet and kind and gracious that people are pleasantly disarmed. I remember going to a nursing home with her while we were dating. She was bringing chocolates to the several ladies she adopted on a volunteer basis. Because of her disarming nature that has been modeled to me throughout the years, I have become much more caring, I've become much more gracious, and much more disarming myself. The rough edges are not that rough anymore. And there are many ways, both small and big, in which we have mentored one another. You may want to take time with your spouse, if you are married, and discuss ways in which you have influenced one another, ways that you have mentored one another. And be specific and be precise. It could prove very interesting and very enlightening and very encouraging as well. And you can see the power of modeling in the context of husband and wife in the home. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 states, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." One of the most important ways to train children is through mentoring. There is, within the home, a powerful context for modeling for your children what it means to live for Christ, what it means to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to be a living example of godliness for your children to emulate. And though they may seem very disinterested, Let me assure you that they are most certainly watching. The home front, one of the most routine and familiar places to us, is a fertile environment for mentoring in the family. Remember this and make your time count for positive mentoring. This is the end of number 12.